Translation and purport by Abhay Charanavinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki. On hearing Suta Goswami speak thus, Saunaka Muni, who was the elderly, learned leader of all the rishis, engaged in that prolonged sacrificial ceremony, congratulated Suta Goswami by addressing him as follows. Purport. In a meeting of learned men, when there are congratulations or addresses for the speaker, the qualifications of the congratulator should be as follows. He must be the leader of the house and an elderly man. He must be vastly learned also. Si Saunaka Rishi had all these qualifications, and thus he stood up to congratulate Si Suta Goswami when he expressed his desire to be present, to present Srimad Bhagavatam exactly as he heard it from Sukadev Goswami, and also realized it personally. Personal realization does not mean that one should out of vanity attempt to show one's own learning by trying to surpass the previous acharya. He must have full confidence in the previous acharya, and at the same time he must realize the subject matter so nicely that he can present the matter for the particular circumstances in a suitable manner. The original purpose of the text must be maintained. No obscure meaning should be screwed out of the, should not be screwed out of it. Yet it should be presented in an interesting manner for the understanding of the audience. That is called realization. The leader of the assembly, Saunaka, could estimate the value of the speaker. Si Suta Goswami simply by his uttering Yata Ditam and Yata Mati, and therefore he was very glad to congratulate him in ecstasy. No learned man should be willing to hear a person who does not represent the original acharya. So the speaker and the audience were bona fide in this meeting where Bhagavatam was recited for the second time. That should be the standard of recitation of Bhagavatam, so that the real purpose can be served without difficulty. Unless this situation is created, Bhagavatam recitation for extraneous purposes is useless labor for the speaker and for the audience. Repeat the verse once again. Vyasa uvacha iti bruvanam samstuya muninam dirgha satrinam vitta kulapati satam pavitcha sonako bravit. On hearing Suta Goswami speak thus, Saunaka Muni, who was the elderly learned leader of all the rishis, engaged in that prolonged sacrificial ceremony, congratulated Suta Goswami by addressing him as follows. Om Ajana Timrandasya Chanjana Shalaka Shaksarun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Staptam Yena Bhutale Svyam Rupkadam Yam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Siyu Siyu Dapat Kamnam Sigam Vaishnavam Shasi Upam Sarjatam Sakan Ragnatam Tam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savarutam Parjana Saitam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sakanalita Sri Vishakam Vitam Sham He Krishna Kuna Sindhu Dina Bandho Chyat Pate Kaupe Shakopka Kanta Radha Kanta Namastate Tapta Kanshna Gaurangi Radhi Vrinda Vanashvri Vishabana Sita Devi Pranamama Ripriya. Vanchakal Prabhasha Kripa Sindhavisha Patanam Pavanabhyo Vaishnabhyo Namo Nama Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Radhata Shiva Sati Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram 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 Hare Hare Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vastaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tinamane Namaste Sarasvata Devi Gauravani Pacharane Nirvishesa Sinyavadi Paskachai Desatarane Srila Prabhupada ki. So, in the last verse of previous chapter and in this first verses of the fourth chapter, the process is explained by which the Bhagavatam should be recited and heard. The qualifications are described of the speaker and the hearer, but both must be qualified, and if they are qualified, then the appropriate atmosphere must be created. The transfer of transcendental knowledge, it's not like on the scholarly level, that one studies the subject and knows it well and presents the subject, and then the student, when he hears, he can learn that this is not really what this is about. That because on that platform, one is concerned with understanding and learning, that but the study of the Bhagavatam, the meaning of understanding is much more deeper. One understands the subject when one has realized it, and to realize it, one must become purified. So this is a process of purification of the heart, change of heart, reformation of character. That and then one must realize the subject matter. That's a complete different platform, and that's only going to happen when the speaker and the hearer are bona fide, and when the appropriate atmosphere is created which pleases the Lord. And then the Lord is going to manifest himself in the sound vibration. And it is that manifestation that brings out the purification of the heart. So this is very important to understand how this Bhagavatam is going to purify our heart. And what's the sign of the purification? It's been explained before in the second chapter. Then Sutta Goswami said, just by oral reception of this Bhagavatam, just by hearing, that one becomes free from lamentation, illusion, and fear. That's the sign that the purification is, the signs of that the purification is taking place. So now, when you have the bona fide speaker and a bona fide hearer. A summary of what was explained in previous verses. What is the bona fide hearer? Is the one who has heard with rapt attention from the spiritual master. Rapt attention means with concentration. To do that, in the purport Srila Prabhupada writes, one must be pure in mind. And one can only be pure in mind when one is pure in his action. And pure in his action means pure in eating, sleeping, defending, mating. Means one must follow the four regulative principles. Those who are not following these principles in this world, Srila Prabhupada writes, they are a royal edition of animals. Because that's what the animals do in an unrestricted way. Human life is not meant for that. Human life is meant for purification of the heart and realization. So the hearer must hear with rapt attention and pure in mind, or as pure as we can. That in the beginning is not easy, that a lot of hankering and lamentation is in the mind. But at least we should follow the basic principles of religion, and follow the four regulative principles. And then another qualification of the hearer is explained in this verse here. One must give respect to the speaker. That's very important. Without that respect, then this transfer of realization will not take place. And there is a third quality for the hearer, and that will be explained. The speaker tomorrow will speak on the next verse, which explains this, which is about this qualification. We see that Saunaka Rishi, that is very eager to hear. Eagerness to hear must be there. Like Srila Prabhupada gives the example, when one is hungry, then the fire of their digestion is high. And then there is an urgency to eat. One is eager because of urgency. So one must feel that urgency to make spiritual advancement, to come out of our situation of suffering in this world. So that urgency should be there. That's the hearer. And here we see that that Saunaka Rishi is the leader, is elderly, and is vastly learned. So he was most qualified to glorify the speaker. And he congratulates the speaker. But at the other side, there are also the qualification of the speaker. It's not that we can hear from everyone. The speaker must be qualified to sit on the Vyasasan. The speaker must have some personal realization, because it's a transfer of that realization that has to take place. And the speaker must exactly say the same thing as he heard from his spiritual master. So Sutta Goswami will hear it exactly how we heard it from Sukadev Goswami. Because Sutta Goswami was in the assembly present when Sukadev Goswami spoke to Maharaj Parikshit. He was there. So Srila Prabhupada in the purport emphasizes other qualities of the speaker. One should be humble, not trying to show one's learning, not trying to surpass the previous acharyas. That's There should be no such motivation that makes that then the proper atmosphere will not be created. That instead of trying to surpass the previous acharyas, one must see oneself as an instrument of the spiritual master. Srila Prabhupada saw himself always as an instrument of his spiritual master. In America, he said, "You boys and girls have been sent by my Guru Maharaj to assist me in his mission." That so he had full confidence in his spiritual master. He felt always connected in everything what he did. And the speaker must be able to present the subject matter in a fashion or a way suitable for the audience. That's important, and that's the greatest challenge of every preacher, that to be able to adapt to the audience. That sometimes you come in an audience, you have seniors and newcomers, and you must speak in such a way that both have some advantage of your presentation. It's a challenge. And of course, the original purpose of the text must be maintained. But it must be presented in a practical matter. It's not that we are just presenting philosophy, but the speaker must explain the practical application of the philosophy according to his realization and according to the audience. But we see here the speaker and the audience were bona fide. When that's the case, then the real purpose of the Bhagavatam can be served. The atmosphere of the surroundings where this discussion takes place must be proper. Because this is the second recitation of the Bhagavatam. First was Sukadev Goswami to Maharaj Parikshit, and here Sutta Goswami is going to present it to the sages of Namisaranya. So, to create this proper atmosphere, then there must be a proper etiquette between the devotees. Must be established. Because even the greatest knowledge will, if presented, it will not have an effect when this Vaishnava etiquette is neglected. So, what principle is behind all this? That if we discuss matters about Krishna, then it's Krishna's advent in the sound vibration of the Bhagavatam that gives the sound vibration its potency. So it's then, if Krishna gives that potency, then there will be a transfer to the heart, and it will purify the heart or the mind of the speaker and the hearer. So this is not something material. So transfer of knowledge at universities, that's different. Nobody is much concerned about the character of the speaker. If he knows his subject matter, then he can speak. And the same at the side of the students. Then When the teacher knows the subject and the student learn and learning is taking place. But we are not simply concerned with learning. We are concerned with purification and realization. That's different. There may be different study groups of the Bhagavatam, and learning may take place, but if the many times not purification or realization. Because for this, one must have devotees who present the Bhagavatam, who have a certain purity and realization. Purity is the force, Srila Prabhupada used to say. Therefore, it's not just I'm going to read Srila Prabhupada's books and that's sufficient. It will help one to understand the subject matter to a certain level, but to get a purification and realization, it must be done in association of devotees. That, and this atmosphere must be created. That, so in study groups of the Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita, purification and realization is not necessarily there. This atmosphere is important. There are people who are very good in memorizing and know most of the prime verses of the Bhagavatam. But when they preach, they cannot change the lives of those who are they addressing. And we know sometimes Kurukula boys, 5-6 years old, they can convince others to change their lives. So it's not just about memorizing or learning. It's deeper, the purification, the realization that Krishna is present in every syllable of the Bhagavatam. But he becomes only manifest in it if we understand the principles explained in these verses. Very important. It means following Vaishnava etiquette, but this etiquette is also an internal etiquette. Having that favorable respect towards the speaker, be humble, so then Krishna is pleased and he agrees to manifest himself. So what is the etiquette required here? First, the speaker, he must see himself as a humble servant of the previous acharyas. He should not think I have greater realizations than the previous acharyas. He must see himself as an instrument. So this is an internal form of etiquette. So before speaking on the Bhagavatam, we ask the blessings of all those who are senior and more advanced. And we pray to Srila Prabhupada. That's one thing I learned in the years, that you give a lecture, first you pray to Srila Prabhupada, because without his blessings, nothing we can say. So we should not think that we have the right to speak this transcendental knowledge without the blessings of the previous acharyas. And if senior devotees are not present, still internally within our heart we can pray for their blessings. Please Let me repeat these words for your pleasure. Because unless one is a devotee of Krishna, Krishna will not appear from his mouth. That a speaker should not speak for his own profit, adoration, distinction, reputation. No. That one must speak just to please the previous acharyas. That just to speak to benefit all living entities. Then the words one is speaking will carry this divine transcendental potency. And then that will change people's life. That. And the hearer must be eager to hear that. And we can pray for this eagerness. And the hearer is willing to offer respect to the person we're speaking. That's what happens then. When we hear in that mood, then the Paramatma Krishna is in our heart and he opens our heart so that this message can enter and realization can take place. So Vaishnava etiquette is an internal meditation. How we approach devotees. So this is the beginning of this fourth chapter. In this fourth chapter, you have different sections. Here, Saunaka Rishi is first glorifying Sutta Goswami. And then he's humbling, requesting him, please relate us this message of the Bhagavatam. And then he's asking questions. And these questions, the answer to these questions, that's the Bhagavatam. that's all what follows, is answers to these questions. His first question is, why did Srila Vyasadeva compile the Srimad Bhagavatam? And then the personalities, the speaker and the prime speaker and the hearer of the Bhagavatam are introduced. And so he's asking about Sukadev Goswami. He glorifies Sukadev Goswami. And then he's asking why was this Bhagavatam recited? Why was it recited to Maharaj Pariksit? And why did Maharaj Pariksit sit down to fast until death? That he was a shelter of all his citizens. And now he's giving that up. Why? And then he glorifies Sutta Goswami. He says, you are expert. Please explain all these points. So then Sutta Goswami will answer in this chapter that if he will first speak about the birth of Vyasadeva, the son of Parasar, and his mother was Satyavati. He will describe Vyasadeva, how the place where he was residing in Badarikashram, how in his ashram Srila Vyasadeva could see the problems of Kali Yuga, that the everyone will become more and more interested in matter, that and therefore he felt compassion. Was thinking the ever reduced duration of life, they are always disturbed, they are lack of the mode of goodness, how to help them. And therefore he describes sacrifices mentioned in the Vedas, that and he wrote all the Puranas. It's called the fifth Vedas. He divided the Vedas in four parts: the Rig, the Atharva, the Sama, and the Yajurveda. Originally it was one Veda, but he was dividing it because the sages, could influenced by Kali Yuga, could not remember the whole Vedas, so he was divided it. He was presenting the Rig Veda to Paila Rishi, the Sama Veda to Jamini Rishi, the Yajur Veda to Vasampayan, and the Atharva Veda to Angira Muni. And all these sages, they had their disciples, and their disciples got different parts of these Vedas, of each Vedas, sections. So to preserve it in Kali Yuga, he was dividing it. And Roma Harsa Sanasuta was the father of Sudha Goswami. He compiled the Puranas, became specialized in the Puranas, So you have all this division of the Vedas. And he wrote also Mahabharata out of compassion for the Sudras, for the in Kali Yuga. Everyone is born Sudra. So by hearing the stories in the Mahabharata, he could learn the religious principles. So Srila Vyasadeva did all that. But then he felt still dissatisfied. He was reflecting, I wrote the Mahabharata, I followed all vows, worshipped the Vedas, but I'm feeling still incomplete. And then he was reflecting, why am I not satisfied? And then one doubt came up in his mind. He said, maybe it's because I did not specifically point out to the devotional service of the Lord. He was just thinking that, and at that moment, his spiritual master appeared, Narada Muni. And Narada Muni will address that dissatisfaction in the heart of Srila Vyasadeva. Because when Srila Vyasadeva saw his spiritual master immediately, he offered his respect. And Narada Muni, without introduction, without speaking first, or how are you, or whatever, or what's your problem? No, mystically, immediately he was addressing the dissatisfaction in the heart of Srila Vyasadeva. He said, are you only concerned with the body and the mind? You forgot about the interest of the soul. You did not sufficiently describe the devotional service to the Lord, because that's the activity of the soul. You did a great work, he said. You described all these Vedas and these sacrifices. You have been concerned with dharma, artha, kama, moksha, four materialistic goals. Having a religious life for sense gratification. Artha, how they can get wealth, how they can fulfill their material desires. And moksha, getting free from suffering, which is also a materialistic goal. And then Narada Muni will explain the story of his previous life, how he got a spiritual body. He's explaining the process of bhakti yoga. And after that demonstration of bhakti, he will advise Srila Vyasadeva to meditate on the absolute truth with devotion. And then from that devotional meditation, he get a vision of the Bhagavatam. And that's explained in three verses in the beginning of the seventh chapter, his realizations. And from that expands into the stories of the Bhagavatam. So that's the history of the Bhagavatam, which is explained as an answer to the questions of Saunaka Rishi. So, any comments or questions?